We know it's terrible to interrupt the flow of your favorite podcast, Capital Hacking, with this pesky commercial, but let me do it anyway. Forgive me. That is right. We have to talk about the best event coming up in April. It's April 19th and 20th. It's Learn and Grow. It's that Accountable Equity Investor Community event, open not only to our current investors, but to anyone who wants to see the power of an accredited investor community. It's going to be hosted at one of the beautiful Accountable Equity Resorts called LBI National. It's near Renault Winery, actually. It's in New Jersey. We'd love for you to register and find out what everyone is talking about and why this type of investing, this type of mastermind community might be right for you. Check it out at accountableequity.com. Choose, learn, and grow. Thank you.
Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
My job is to look at the board, not the way I want it to be, not the way that the talking box tells us it should be, but really what's happening and what's behind what's happening. And then I follow the money. Like at the end of the day, very large portfolios and families, they have any option. So I'd like to see what they're doing. We're now in 28 states. And so that gives us visibility in high net worth families' portfolios.
Welcome back to Capital Hacking. We got our new microphones. John's on fire. We're going to have a great day today.
What a great day it is. And guys, you know, get ready because we interview Fred Hubler, who brings the fire, baby.
You know what? It's great to meet a guy like Fred over the years. He's a powerhouse. He'll mention a lot of things throughout the show about how he's been doing clips on CNBC and Yahoo Finance. And he's very definitely taking a step in the media world these days. But he's a guy that is a hybrid. He's a hybridist. He's partially in the world of mainstream wealth management because he understands it. He did it. But he's modified it into a new business he calls Creative Capital. And he implements what he believes to be the tried and true wealth strategies of the big foundations and the big family offices.
Yeah. Yeah. Fred is the owner of Creative Capital Wealth Management Group. He's got a bunch of employees now. When he started out, it was just him and a couple people, but now I think he has 30 employees working for him and he's on fire. In my opinion, of all of my friends, which I have a lot of connections, Fred is the leading financial expert in my world and in a lot of people's worlds.
Well, I'm glad you gave him that. There's some funny stuff too. We find out the guy actually owns a crystal ball that shows up, and he does break down a lot of different investment strategies, which I think you're going to find interesting. Some of them will surprise you. And like I said, he also looks into the future about interest rates, inflation, and he surprises you. I'll give you a spoiler alert. He talks about how high property insurance is going to go up over the next 2 years. And I've been hearing that as well. So that's definitely something you want to pay attention to.
One of the things that really stood out to me was Fred talking about the economy, by the way, said there's blood in the streets. It just may not have gotten to your door yet.
There you go. You can tell this is a knee slapper. We're going to have a great time. I think you still love everything about this show. And he will give his info at the end. You'll love it.
Let's get it, guys.
Welcome to the big show, Fred Hubler.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is awesome. Good to see you guys.
Man, we are fired up today, Fred, to have you on the show, brother. You are such a wise man, but also a funny guy. I love our friendship.
You are funny, by the way.
He is funny.
I was wondering where he's going to say that wise. If he's going to go wise man or wise the other one.
Well, I could have gone either way with that.
You could have, actually. So, Fred, we know that you come from the world. You study the markets. You also know you actually bought that crystal ball a couple years ago when the wizard gave it to you, I thought. So you have the crystal. Oh, my God. You actually do.
He actually has a crystal ball.
See, I was kidding.
For those of you watching on YouTube now, you just got a trophy. You got a, what do you call that? Like an Easter egg. Actually owns a crystal ball. So this is our day where we're going to step back from all the cool stuff we talk about and talk about awful stuff. No, I'm just kidding. We're not talking about awful stuff. We're talking about the future and we're going to learn from you. So for those listeners who have not met you yet and have not heard you on the show before, why don't you give us a little background where you are physically and your business and your family, and then we're going to ask you some tough questions. So I hope you have your seatbelt on. Let's go.
Sounds good. All right. So back up 20 years ago, I started to be a financial advisor like every other financial advisor. I lasted 2 years in a brokerage setting in Vanguard's backyard, same zip code as Vanguard. So I went independent and I went from having the old broker dealer tell me who to sell, what to sell, to having absolutely anything I could do when I went independent and no one telling me what to do. And being a hardworking, lazy MBA, I cheated and I looked at the annual reports of Harvard and Yale and large institutions to see what they were doing with money since they had very smart people on their team. Turned out 80% of their money is not in the stock market. And that got me down the path of specializing in alternative investments that are not the same as stocks and bonds. 20 years later, moved from the Vanguard zip code down the street to Chester Springs in Pennsylvania, outside of Philly, in the area, I'd like to say, where M. Night Shyamalan makes all of his movies.
He did one
in front of the office. He did one near my house. So I think his next movie will be about stalking me. Married. I have 11-year-old twins. My wife would not let me name them Luke and Leia. So they are James and Abigail. And grew up with the X-Files. So I trust nobody. I believe that everyone has an agenda, which is fine. I also believe in self-preservation, which is also good. And if you can find legal and ethical and moral advantages for yourself and your clients, that's my goal in life. Like, what is really going to happen? What is really making the money? So 20 years later, we got a big team. I'm now getting to the point where I only do what I want to do, which is stuff like this. And besides being the owner, I'm also the chief wealth strategist. So my job is to look at the board, not the way I want it to be, not the way that the talking box tells us it should be, but really what's happening and what's behind what's happening. And then I follow the money. Like at the end of the day, very large portfolios and families, they have any option. So I'd like to see what they're doing. We're now in 28 states. And so that gives us visibility in high net worth families portfolios because they have us look at everything. So I can see what someone in Nebraska is doing and be like, oh, that looks cool. What is that? And so it's almost like a flywheel where we bring on clients, we review their stuff, we show them things we've seen before, and then we see something different. And when we look at that, and now we look at, and now we have something else to show with clients. So it's constantly evolving. But again, I believe in seeing where the big institutions are going and knowing that if something's different, it doesn't mean it's bad. And a lot of times it actually is very good.
It's great. That great summary.
Great
Thank
summer.
You. That was fantastic. So for our listeners, Fred and myself and Josh go back a little over 5 years. Fred and I used to co-lead the tri-state chapter, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, for GoBundance. And Fred got so big and so busy, he couldn't do it anymore.
I took an early retirement.
And another funny tidbit with Fred is he used to call it Fridays with Fred. It was Fred Fridays. And so I'd call him in the morning. Every Friday he'd have off, but I'd still call him at like 6:37 just to bug him. So I appreciate our friendship, Fred. I want to say that first. And I appreciate the fact that you came on with Josh and I. Can you kind of take us through 2020, 2021, 2022? If you were buying real estate, if you were buying stocks, it seemed like it was hard to make a bad move. And things have definitely shifted. Can you talk a little bit about where we were, where we currently are, and where you see the economy going?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Melanie McCallum. Josh and I are just so grateful for the many investors who have already joined us at Accountable Equity. Accountable Equity is so much more than a capital group. It's really a community of accredited investors that want to learn and grow together. I just want to personally invite you, if you want to find out more about this type of investment and see if it's right for you and your family, please visit us at accountableequity.com. You can fill out the contact form. We'll get right back to you and see if this is a great fit for you and your family. We'd love to meet you. We look forward to learning about you. Please visit us at accountableequity.com.
So in a nutshell, where we were was great and atypical. There was a lot of things that had happened, and a part of my role for you know, very high net worth clients, they don't like to hear no. They think they know it all. Sometimes people who make money feel that they were a genius, and sometimes it was just great timing, but they're the last ones to ever admit to that. So where we were, you know, it took 10 years to do that. And more important, because we all know where we were, more important for me is where the shifts. And so that, you know, the name, those guys on YouTube can see the name behind me. I've been asked to be on shows that I used to go to listen to see what's going on. And now I'm the one telling people what's going on, which kind of messes with your mind a little bit, but it's okay. At the end of the day, there's never been ever an everything bubble. Like there was a tulip bubble in the 1700s. And obviously we've seen, you know, healthcare and tech stocks and real estate. 2008 was started with a real estate bubble. There's never been an everything bubble everywhere. So every thought of what could happen next is a best guess because there's no proxy to see what it would have been. Probably not going to be great. And one of the things I've been saying for 9 months is that there's economically, there's blood in the streets. It just hasn't gotten to your doorstep yet. And again, going back to the 28 states that we have clients in, the feedback loop, I had a client call me and say, how the heck did you know that? I'm like, what are you talking about? I was like, I saw you on, you know, Yahoo Finance or whatever, and you said blood in the streets. He's like, you're right. I'm like, well, thank you. Tell me more. You know, tell my wife. Basically, he owns a company that is third generation property and casualty. So insurance companies have two rules. Rule number one is don't lose money. Rule number two is don't lose track of rule number one. Like that is it. And I think we all have gotten away a little bit. This is just an example of where we're going and the things that have already happened. Like this stuff's already happened, just hasn't trickled down yet. Because there's things that haven't yet happened that haven't trickled down, but there's things that are already happened and it's in the system. It just hasn't, the blood hasn't gotten to our streets yet. So long story short, he had a meeting with all of his companies he uses. And they're all brand name companies. We see them on the commercial and they're all great commercials. The average increase in property and casualty for all of us is going to be 35 to 45%.
Yeah.
It's already approved. You just haven't gotten your car, you know. And so that's inflation. That's an expense that the three of us probably can handle, but there's people that can. Add to that the fact the Fed has to break employment or they have to break consumer behavior. Employment is still really healthy, but it's a lagged healthiness. You're seeing today, but there's a ton of layoffs already happened, but those layoffs aren't yet in the numbers. So there probably is going to be maybe one or two more really good employment numbers that are overinflated. The people that are in that number have already been laid off. The numbers are backwards. So what I'm concerned about is where we should go when things have a potential of going wrong. And if you look back at the first domino of 2008, one of the things that was the issue was the people that rate the investments that were rating these mortgage obligations, the things that started to blow up that had crappy mortgages in them, they were given these investments great ratings. And one of the reasons was, well, if John and Josh are both the rating agencies and Josh isn't going to give me AAA, I'm going to walk down the street and get it from John. And Josh knew that, so he gave it to me. And then the very next day, I'm bankrupt. Obviously, I wasn't AAA to begin with. Well, let's pretend those people do their job this time. And they're looking at companies that can't sell their products like they thought they could because they can't make them. Insert the COVID supply chain issue, whatever it is. Can't get the people, or they can get the people. They can't get the chips. Long story short, let's say really good companies that are AAA become double A. If you're not investment grade, you can't be in a pension. And triple B is in triple B can go down to double B, not A. So if you're not investment grade, all the pensions have to sell your stuff. So I think one of the things that are out there is when the people start looking at the numbers will start to get really ugly. And as numbers get ugly, people are going to get spooked. And the three of us think for ourselves because that's how we got where we are. That's why we're doing a podcast. There's most people listen to the podcast, don't even want to do the podcast because of all the headaches and blah, 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 or they might be embarrassed or whatever. But a lot of people do not think for themselves. And those people have been given a narrative that everything's fine. There's no recession because we changed the definition. There's no inflation because we say so. And it's not a political thing. It's just, it's basically what we're ingrained. Well, reality will trump the narrative every time. And eventually reality will be when they get their car insurance, when they go, you know, to a fast food joint and spend $30 for two meals. Like, that's happening now. It happened to me the other day. That will shock them. And so there's a lot of things out there that are not just one domino, but a few weak dominoes, not even counting energy. I mean, so to get to Josh's point, there's not a lot of good news, but there's always opportunity. And more importantly, there's ways to protect yourself. So one of the things we're seeing, which is, again, another nail in the coffin, and it's a little scary, and I'm not saying the rats are jumping off the Titanic. I'm saying first class is already going on to the rowboats and getting off the boat. Yeah. So last year, my office did tens of millions of transactions of families who are selling their marquee real estate. So the storage company that the whole family worked at, or the mobile home park the whole family worked at, or the apartment building. This was not just an investment to them. This was their W-2. This was their job. They're selling it. It's the only asset in some of these cases. And they're selling it, and they're using us to 1031 into other investments that are passive and they don't have to work at that are still real estate. But the scary part is they don't know each other, but they have the same story. Because they come to me, I'm like, why are you doing this? This is 2020, you know, COVID scared them and reminded them how fragile having one asset in one place with one type of tenant is. So when they go to us, we diversify, we go multi-assets, multi-tenants, a whole nine yards. And I think they got scared with 2020, and prices are still really good compared to, you know, what granddad paid for the building. So there's still a ton of upside, and they'd rather be a smaller piece of something institutional. So I think there's going to be, and there continues to be, a flight to quality. And that'll be one of the things that'll differentiate between the haves. And so short answer to a, you know, long answer to a short question.
That was great information, Fred. And you had mentioned that we're going to look at an average increase of 35 to 45 inflation rates. Where do you see, is that across the board? I took one person out for lunch yesterday, no drinks, no nothing. It was at an Indian place for lunch. I spent $65 for the two of us. We each had one entree. That was it. It was wild. So that's across the board, you're saying.
But I think you
that
also
percentage
specifically
was just on the property and casualty.
Oh, property and casualty. Okay.
I'm trying to look at, you know, upstream changes that just haven't gotten down here.
Right.
Our insurances are going up because it has to. And obviously, you know, even if you can get your car fixed, it takes forever. So now you ever rent a car forever, you know, so we know why, but now we're seeing it in day-to-day bills. When they said inflation was transitory, I'm sure the three of us laughed. Our rents aren't going down. No. And what we pay people isn't going to go, you know, we can't, oh, I'm giving you back the raise because it wasn't transitory. Like all the things that changed up maybe won't go up as fast, but they can't go back down. Like it's very hard to go back to an employee. And most of us aren't going to lower our rents unless we absolutely have to. And then I don't think the world's getting that bad. But yeah, inflation is here. It's real. I think interest rates are going to be longer than anyone expected. And we've all gotten a little bit of a recency bias, which is in our heads, we're wired this way. Whatever happened the most recently kind of weighs more when you make a decision. Mm. So we've been not fooled. We've been accustomed to a stock market and a bond market and an investment market that when there's a bad thing that happens, it comes back. 9/11, horrible, it came back. 2008, horrible, it came back. COVID came back in 4 or 5 months. And the difference between 2008 and the money in COVID was in 2008, a lot of the money that was generated went in there, went to kind of plug the holes in the balance sheets of these companies that were upside down. Mm-hmm. In 2020, it went into the system or it went into your pocket. Mm-hmm. And some people bought assets with it and some people bought stuff with it or spent it. So there's a lot of spending power still left. And there's never been as much money created as there was created during COVID. And I think it was created with good ideas, but you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I think now we have to pay the piper.
So we have, I want to keep reminding everybody, you do own a crystal ball. So this is factual information. You do not have to check with an accountant or anything.
Did not come with instructions.
This is actually going to happen. No, just kidding. Guys, this is a fun podcast. You don't have to worry about any disclaimers because this is your world. Our listeners are part of this alternative investment mastermind called Capital Hacking. And this is us just kind of opening up our minds to new ideas. So back to that, I'm going to kind of summarize one of the ideas that I took away from this that's going to change me is going back to your story, Fred, before we get into tough questions. Your story says, you know, I was an MBA and I wanted to shortcut to the path of success. So I studied what the pension funds invested in, because I figured Harvard, Yale, they know what they're doing. And you found that 80% was not Wall Street. Did I quote you right on that?
Yep. So it was right. More so the pension funds have to be in the Wall Street world, but the institutions that don't have to, Harvard and Yale foundations, very wealthy families, institutions, sovereign wealth institutions, those that don't have to be in the market, because pension funds have laws they have to fit.
Ah, good point. You're right.
So when you don't have the law, when your law is don't lose money and make as much as you can, those like Harvard and Yale, those large foundations, their annual reports are public. So they don't tell me what they're buying. They don't tell anybody. They just say, you know, put it in there. But when I notice, and so I'm like, well, why is that? And this is, I think the investment world, and I'm in it, so I'm part of it, is authorized gambling. Like the thesis for buying a stock is buy, hold, and hope. There's nothing we're going to do to make it go up.
Right.
But if you buy private equity, if you're buying a syndication, if you're buying an investment where there's an economic value add going on, that's where real wealth is created. So private equity, you know, buys companies and it's Richard Gere and Pretty Woman. They either buy companies, put them together, or buy a company and split them apart. You know, syndication stuff that we're, well, you know, there's a reason they're buying that property and they're going to do something of real value, and it has nothing to do with the stock market. So as long as you're in a vehicle, or you're going to get into a vehicle that has a true value, and value is two parts. There's obviously capital and time to do it, and then there's a need for what you're doing. There's a lot of people that spend a lot of money making something that nobody wants. There's no value generated there. So you need to know who you're selling to, who the outside buyer is. And it doesn't change overnight, but it does change over time. The hottest things become. And the interesting thing is it tends to be hot, not hot. It tends to last for a while as long as it works. So the alternative space, you know, as we know, is not as liquid, but it also, we're not in a market where everyone can push a button and sell it tomorrow.
That's right. That's an interesting positive that people don't think about, is when you're in a, let's talk about some of the normal alternatives that we're about to describe real quick, that Frederick Hubler, which is what you're, by the way, on YouTube, you're going to see that. That's how he has his name down in his Zoom. He's very formal. And his son, Luke, and his daughter, Leia, they never let him forget it. Now, by the way, I thought that was hilarious. So let's go back to, where do you see people getting into alternative investments these days? Which asset categories, what are people buying and finding?
So I'll start with what John already knows. So a lot of our GoBundance guys, I think a lot of your syndicators, they're interesting. They have their money already in real estate, which is not the most liquid of things. And then they tend to have unrealistic expectations. I want double-digit returns. And because I'm in real estate, they have the opposite for any new investment. It needs to be, I don't want to tie my money up. And then my issue is, it also then can't also be in real estate again for those people, because that's where all their money is. So I had to have a non-real estate, you know, and so one of the things we looked at, and it's not a solicit, you know, not, but it's an energy play, and it has that value add, that component we're talking about. So this company does one thing for the last 20 years. So it's a very purebred thing. It's an accredited investment. Yeah, being accredited, you know, all those criteria apply. But all they do is buy parcels of already producing land, and they add money from investors to add more derricks to them, which is business 101. It's kind of a no-brainer. But then here's the second part, which is, again, a rinse and repeat play that you probably do and that you've known people that do it. The basics of how to make money are the same no matter what the asset is. So in addition to adding value to these parcels that they're not exploring, they're already there, they're already permitted, they're already, you know, taking oil out, they then aggregate these smaller parcels and sell them upstream to Exxon, Chesapeake, you know, Shell, whoever the bigger one is, because those guys aren't going to John and Fred and Josh and buying our $500,000 or $1 million parcel. They don't have time for that. But if this company aggregates them and gets to be $150, $200 million, then we get them. So that is a non-real estate fix and flip in my mind. You're adding value to it, and then you're getting it, and then you're going to flip it. And the people that you're selling it to, you've done it for 20 years. So it's not a buy it and hope they show up. It's they're waiting for you to do it so they can buy it. And then add in. And so energy is not a bad word. Energy independence is national security. And now we know it. We're going to not be as bad as Europe. But if Europe has a really bad cold spell, which luckily they haven't had, there's really bad things going to go over there. because you can't say you can't say to your biggest person that you're buying oil from, you know, you're a horrible person and we're going to give you all these issues and we're going to give you all these things that you know will stop people from buying you. Just turn off the spigot. So energy is not a bad word. And oil and gas not going away in our lifetime, and frankly, can't. I mean, everything that's plastic comes from oil, and there's billions and billions. So that's one thing. Oil is definitely an asset class that I would look at. There's also what we'll call value add. There's real estate that is good but not great. So again, and as long as real estate's as an investment, real estate's only valuable if you have a tenant. You have the Taj Mahal, but if no one's renting it from you, it doesn't matter. So knowing who the end tenant is. So Amazon has a distribution center. They're not going to, I mean, you don't want to be the last landlord to Amazon 20 years from now. But if you are have the ability to be a landlord to Amazon in the next 5 to 7 years, pretty sure they're not going to be around. They're not going to not be around. I think that's a fair example. And then based on COVID, there's a lot of essential retail. Like you think retail, and we all think retail's dead. Amazon killed retail. You still got to go to your grocery store. And even if you don't go to the grocery store because you use the app on your phone, whoever's doing the shopping, they're going to a physical location in your neighborhood. So grocery store, blood dialysis centers, I don't care if you have to wear a hamster ball, you're going or else you're not going to be here. So looking at real estate from it's great to be a landlord, that's not the issue. It's who's the tenant and are they going away? And is there a risk there if everything that we think could go wrong goes wrong? We're still going to shoot for food. Now, bananas might be $99, and hopefully that's not true, but we're still going to have to go and get the banana. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So real estate that's based on the tenant, opportunistic income plays, like that energy thing. I think the other place, there will be a time probably in the next year, if not sooner, that going into stocks won't be a bad thing when they're on sale. Private equity, again, that Richard Gere analogy, they have never had as much in cash as they have right now in the history of private equity. And they've been around longer than all of us. So they're waiting for the companies to die. And another thing that your listeners need to know is out there, there are companies out there that are great companies, that are clean, that we just shopped at, we just ate at, we loved it. They were staffed. Like it doesn't look like a dying company, that are called zombie companies because they're only alive because debt was cheap. And debt's not cheap anymore. And debt's not going to be cheap going forward for a while. Those companies are going to collapse under the debt they already can't afford. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be companies we just shopped at. Bed Bath & Beyond is one of them. And you're going to see not companies that we thought were going to go away. You're going to have companies like, I was just there. I got a gift card. Like I was just there. I just had a great experience. And that's the sad part. There's going to be capitalism, you know, that only the good survive. There are really good companies that just have bad balance sheets. And that's the same. That's a shame because they add value. We like them. We pay what they want us to pay, but they just were structured either with, you know, just the wrong thing. And so those will be opportunities. They're also going to be risks. I think the other thing that we're just starting to see, and this will be an ongoing thing, is technology. It's a two-edged sword. On the one hand, all of us are in an echo chamber and we get shown what we want to see, which might not even be true, but it's what we want to see. And it's what we clicked on. So it's what we see more of. And we need to go out of our way to see the difference, to know the truth, because the truth is now not available to any of us. We have to put pieces together. But the other end of technology is the productiveness. You know, we can do these. You can have a one-to-many at a scale that no one's ever seen before. And that this podcast is one of them. But also just technology to make things better for everybody. Hopefully healthcare will see that. Not that all of us want to live forever if bananas are $99 a bunch. But you know, there's a lot of things there that I think will work. And we're going to see it going out. But it's going to be a double-edged sword because some of the jobs that technology will take over are not coming back. And that's the other piece of this is for every revolution, there was a place to go. The agricultural revolution into industrial, well, you're not a farmer like your dad was, you go into the city. And that manufacturing into technology, well, you're not an office worker, now you're going to have a tech job. Well, and that's very general. But basically, once technology starts taking over and taking, there are people there that don't have any other skill set than being an Uber driver. And, you know, my Tesla now drives itself. Not well, I mean, not perfect. It does it well. Not, I mean, I wouldn't fall asleep. But it's there, like it from door to door, it'll take me here.
Yeah,
and
that's wild.
The other day, just as in the mailbox guy was filling a mailbox in front of me, it was a 2-lane highway and there's no one coming the other way. It slowed down. It knew there wasn't anybody in the other line. It went into the oncoming traffic lane, but no oncoming traffic. Got around the post office guy and then came back over, which I thought was going to stop and was like, pick over, you know. He's like, no, I got this. It was awesome.
Wow.
Hi, this is Melanie McCallum. Josh and I are just so grateful for the many investors who have already joined us at Accountable Equity. Accountable Equity is so much more than a capital group. It's really a community of accredited investors that want to learn and grow together. I just want to personally invite you, if you want to find out more about this type of investment and see if it's right for you and your family, please visit us at accountableequity.com. You can fill out the contact form. We'll get right back to you and see if this is a great fit for you and your family. We'd love to meet you. We look forward to learning about you. Please visit us at accountableequity.com.
Hey, it's Hal Elrod, author of The Miracle Morning, and you're listening to Capital Hacking. Enjoy.
Hey, Fred. So there's a lot to unpack here. I want to go back to one of the first things you were talking about with the oil and gas play, because you talked about how they're producing more on land that's already permitted out and investors can get involved in this and then they can sell to a large conglomerate, like whatever those plays were. But can you talk a little bit about, because they also will pay out percentages annually, so you are getting paid quarterly on that, and there's tax advantages to it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So oil and gas is an interesting thing. Oil and gas, from going into the World War II, 1941, 1942, they changed the tax code so that oil and gas got very good write-offs. Because at the time, and we're still now, unfortunately now, we're back to it, they needed to make sure we were energy independent because we were at a world war. We weren't selling things to Japan. Right. They were bombing us. So those tax codes have never been closed, and I'm okay with it. So yeah, to John's point, the income we're making on those derricks that we're bringing out in almost every case, and in the one we're using, again, I don't make anything. We look on the market and use FINRA, SEC regulate, but basically they're able to use the tax code to offset in allowable expenses so that the income you're getting is 100% tax-free. Which is pretty good. Pays quarterly, but it's not a bad deal. And it's a double digit, at least this one is a double digit return paid quarterly that's offset by double digit expenses for that return so that the return is tax-free. Mm. So that's a good news. And then when it does go full cycle and they do sell it upstream, that comes back to the investors as capital gain. So if you're going to pay taxes, capital gains are the cheapest of the taxes you have to pay. So yeah, so that's, if I share with people things they already knew, I'm not doing my job and I'm not adding any value. I'm not here to pick a best stock because I'm thinking you shouldn't be in, you know, most stocks you shouldn't be in yet. So the hardest part of my job is what I call the Bernie Madoff factor. I've never heard this before, so it must be wrong, Bernie Madoff. Or I'm in this, it's making more than I thought it would, or it's up when everything else is down, it must be wrong. And it really is, we're not investing where everyone else is investing. So you're doing something different. The results will be different. If the stock market was up 50%, we're not going to make much more on anything that I'm doing or in real estate, because it's disconnected. It's just most people only have the stock market to invest in. So that's all they compare everything to.
You know, it's been a great time getting to know you again for the audience. I would love for them to be able to follow up with you. Would you mind sharing a little contact info as we sign off?
Yeah, sure. So website ccwmg.com. And that is the company. I just put out, and my people will hate this because it's not yet done. So I apologize if there's, you know, frames that are missing. But if you go to got-alts.com, that is a landing page to educate people on all of the alternatives, and not all of them are accredited, in a very easy to understand way. So I believe that all of us should have some access to what First Class has. And we've been on the plane. We get maybe a box of, you know, a bag of pretzels, and First Class is filet mignon, and we're on the same plane. You know they have the food. They just didn't want to give it to us. And that happens in real life. And I think we're seeing in real time a squeezing of the middle income, middle class, and it only leaves two other classes left. And so if you have to have the two other classes left, I'd rather you be in First Class than coach. So that is meant to be an educational forum. The more people that know these other options are there, the less weird they are and the less Bernie Madoff they are, because, oh, I've seen this before. And we go out of our way to educate, because we don't make anything. They're not writing the check to us. They're writing it to names and companies they've known that have been here before all of us and will be here after all of us. that's fine. That's great. You want to be part of the, you know, with institution. So got-alts.com for education, CCWMG for us. We do offer for everybody. It'd be awesome to do it for people we like your listeners, SOS, a second opinion service, where it's virtual. You meet with one of our strategists. What brings you in? What are you doing? You know, if you're allowed, if you don't mind sharing us what you're doing, we can give you our advice just where you are. And doing it for 20 years, everyone's on salary. We're not looking for business or looking for clients we can't help. We've told many people, you're doing fine, or make these changes, or tell your Edward Jones guy to do this, or tell your Ameriprise guy to do that, and leave a good taste in everyone's mouth. And we know they know what we do. And then, you know, usually it's a boomerang. Usually they do come back and say, well, my guy can't do this. And the interesting thing, and John knows this, we have advisors in the industry that are referring us for the stuff that they can't do. And I'm honored to do that. I will not touch that stuff, and I'll do the stuff that they can't do, because they kind of know that if their clients knew what I did, they wouldn't be their clients. Like it was just the timing that they met Bob versus Fred, or John versus Fred, or whatever. And that's fine. Like there are times, and again, you know this, Josh, you shouldn't have all your money in things that are not liquid anyway. So there's always a place for other stuff. And then the other thing that to just leave with is having cash on hand will be very useful in the next 12 months.
Fred, first of all, thank you so much for coming on. That was amazing.
That went by fast.
For our listeners, I have done an SOS with Fred and his company, and it was fantastic, and it was a boomerang. It is a boomerang. And lastly, I want our listeners to understand that having cash in the bank, which Fred just said, is a position. Dry powder is a position, and it's a strong position that's going to be helping you out in the next year to 2 years.
And if your financial advisor didn't tell you that, they probably just want your money to put something in that they get paid on. And our job is overall wealth, which means do syndications or doing things outside of us. So, you know, it's a good litmus test. If they haven't told you to build up cash, find out why. And it may be they didn't see it, or maybe they, you know, they have a mortgage they need to pay.
Thank you, Fred. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you for having me.
Damn straight. We got to the end of another great show. And everyone listening right now, you're the family. Family and friends, thanks for staying till the end.
That was so fun. And hey, hit the like, hit subscribe. We're here to serve you guys. That's why we're doing this show. Josh is not paying me. I'm doing this off of my quote unquote sweat equity, because we want to make a difference in your life. And then that ripple effect will continue to touch the world.
Hey, amen, brother. Please check us out on capitalhacking.com, all the social media threads. And yes, I know you've probably already sent this episode to one of your best friends. Thank you. We love you. Just go right into your iPhone, hit the plus symbol. We'll talk to you later. See you next week.
Share, share, share.